And welcome to Rabbit in Red Radio.
It's Tuesday now.
And it's time for
Star Wars The Last Jedi
2
is out today. Go buy it.
Still haven't seen that one.
I have the Best Buy Steelbook. Actually, I got it last night. Wow.
Nice. Okay. So, as I said before, we're simply focusing on the Death Wish films. So, without further ado, Michael, let's hit him with the trailer and dive straight into Death Wish II, because we're still using Roman numerals.
I think they should have used them all the way through the franchise, but unfortunately, they didn't. But here's the trailer, just because it's here.
It happened once before.
Some muggers followed my wife and daughter home from the market.
It's about to happen again.
The police there got a very good description of the muggers, too. But it didn't do any good.
We do what we can.
And so does he.
Is this your daughter, Mr. Kersey? Mr. Kersey, is that Carol?
When murder and rape are the crimes, Bronson is the only punishment. Charles Bronson, Death Wish 2.
There's something else you should know, sir. Paul Kersey now lives in Los Angeles.
Oh, my God.
Now you tell me there's a vigilante out there.
You believe in Jesus?
Yes, I do.
Well, you're going to meet him.
He killed 9 people in New York City 4 years ago.
The people he killed were muggers. He became a hero.
What did he look like?
He was a very good citizen, that's what he was.
That guy saved our lives, damn it. Where the hell were you guys, giving out parking tickets?
When violence rules the city, when the police can't stop it, one man will, his way.
Watch out!
Charles Bronson.
Goodbye.
Death Wish 2. He's doing it for you.
You know, you laughing at that trailer is not very nice. I think you should not laugh at it. I think it's brilliant again. It showcases the real acting range that Charles Bronson has. And, oh my god. Wow. Did you realize that Michael Winner was not originally set to direct Death Wish 2?
Well, actually, Mike, once again, since I got on the kick with the first one of doing all the research around the production, let me start with the production here, okay?
Yes, you do that. Go ahead.
Okay. So, once again, the production of this one had some troubles. Charles Bronson only agreed to come back to this one last minute, and he actually insisted on more money and having a real director because they already had a different director signed on. And his quote-unquote real director just so happened to be his buddy, Michael Winner, once again.
Yes.
And Mr. Winner took it upon himself to rewrite this script, just like he did the last one. And with this one, he actually removed much of the social commentary around the justice system that was in the script. So this one was supposed to be a lot heavier on just how our justice system ran at that time. So.
And it seems that 44 days for production is a very long time for principal photography. Okay, I don't understand.
I like how Mike's trying to do research after I did research on that first
one. Well, you obviously didn't say that, so I'm just going to say it. Because, look, it's a Death Wish movie. Why do you need... Okay, here's the way that I see it. You can shoot these Death Wish movies in about a week. You don't need... Okay, because Bronson's golden. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't need direction. He can direct himself in most occurrences.
Here's the thing, Mike. The first one was actually a really big hit, so much so that they increased ticket sale prices because it was so much of a hit. They didn't do a lot of sequels back at this time, and they were going to do it regardless as to if Mr. Bronson signed on or not.
Well, imagine so they would have somebody else playing Paul Kersey. Or, you know what they could do? I'll tell you what
just could have been a new character.
Well, no, what it would have done is they could have brought the... you know, Bronson's son-in-law back, who could be avenging the fuck... Well, no, I don't give a shit about the daughter. But have the... you know, because who wants a woman vigilante? That makes
she
no sense.
She could bend mute.
Yeah, that...
spray paint still on her ass.
Yeah, and she could go... Yeah, she could go around tagging fucking men's assholes and balls. Yes.
Alright. But, as I was saying, these were actually really big films, so they actually got pretty big fucking budgets and a big schedule. They treated them like A pictures, even though these are clearly B pictures.
They're fucking A pictures all the way to five.
Oh my god. Alright, so once again, this kicks off, and I kind of like the idea of this opening.
Yeah.
Because we're getting the crime statistics, we're just getting this radio report, right?
Yes.
Brilliant. But the start. Goddamn soundtrack is so fucking loud at points it just drowns out what we're supposed to be hearing.
I love that aerial shot with the fucking the music in the background and the fucking credit. Yes, that's so awesome.
Yeah, that cinematography is good. I'll give you that. But what I'm saying is they should have mixed their levels a little bit better there so you could actually hear the radio.
Oh. Yeah, but you can. You just have to turn the volume up a little bit on your TV.
No, the squealing guitar just drowns it out.
No, I could still hear it.
Although, you know, Jimmy Page doing the music, can't go wrong with that.
I'm surprised that he agreed to do a music for a film where a housekeeper gets raped.
All right, so before we get there,
rape.
we're introduced to Paul and his family again now in Los Angeles, and his daughter's actually doing better. She's not talking really because it's a different actress. And probably sounds different, but she's doing better, according to her doctors. And, of course, you know, Paul gets mugged, but this is actually a good scene, because I like...
8 years. Hold on one second. It's been eight years since the last film. Okay. So, maybe it's not a different actress. Maybe it's the same actress, she actually went through, like, electroshock therapy and a lobotomy, because, you know, the events of the first film traumatized her so much that she just sits there with a drool cup.
No, they actually said that she has begun speaking, so it's just very rare that she does.
Right.
Okay, I'll go with it. And as I was saying, Paul gets mugged, and I actually like this scene. We get to see him stand up for himself. He chases the guy down. And once again, we're seeing that old man Bronson has got it here. We see that right away.
Sir.
8 years later, so what is...
He was 59 years old when this thing happened.
That's fucking old, Mike.
No, it's not, fuckface.
59 is old. I don't care. Anyway, we get to see that this... do you want me to call him middle-aged? Because he's not quite elderly.
Okay, call him middle-aged. Call him what you will, but he's not old.
This upper-tier middle-aged man chases down a mugger and actually beats him up.
Yeah, see, because now Bronson is pure badass. See, it's a level up from the first movie. It's like a video game. He leveled up into the next level of vigilante. That's his whole thing.
Well, I kind of like it because we still see that he's still got that in him. He's still willing to go there. I like it. Okay? And with this one, it actually kind of sets it up because he beats up the mugger
leaves. Yes.
And then the guy goes back to his gang. They still have Bronson's wallet, mm-hmm. Paul's wallet, I should say.
Yes, Paul's
wallet. And obviously in that is his driver's license with his address.
Right.
So in retaliation for that guy being humiliated,
right,
they go to his house. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yep.
And this one is streamlining it even more because now we're not at 13 minutes. We're at what, 10 minutes, Mike?
Yeah, I think so.
Minutes into this film, we get the break-in and the rape because it's a Death Wish movie and we need rape.
Okay. Now, do you think that it was wrong for Kersey to have a housekeeper?
No.
Okay. But do you think that this movie had like a stereotype issue because the housekeeper was Spanish? And do you feel that this movie showed bad female feminine hygiene because that fucking housekeeper's bush was way too out of control?
Well, Mike, it was the time frame. That was back then.
I don't... Well, because, you know, I'm thinking about it. Okay, that means that if it was the time frame back then and that's what women did back then, that means that old women had gray bush.
Yes. And Bronson also had a hairy cock. So what? Anyway, moving on.
Do you know how... Wow, that's... I wonder if Bronson's cock was gray hair.
Probably. Probably pepper. Salt and pepper.
Oh.
Probably had sideburns.
That... You know what? I almost wish that he would have shown it in one of these movies.
Okay.
Just so I could see what it looks like.
So, the break-in happens, and... this is actually brutal.
Mm-hmm.
The acting by the gang members is, you know,
there's a
pretty
lot of
bad.
Sperm
it's like
that's
they never had
lost
sex
in that bush.
Well, the gang members act like they've never had sex in this. I mean,
what do you mean they never had sex? It's like, they're fucking craziness.
If that's how you have sex, Mike, there's something wrong
with
you.
Dude, they're animals. Of course they've had sex. It's a fucking Spanish older woman, and they want to show her how a young virile man has sex.
No, it's more like it's their first time acting, and they have no idea what they're doing. Anyway,
Lawrence Fishburne,
this is brutal.
Did you see him in that fucking movie?
Yeah. This is brutal, and this is what I was expecting out of the first movie in its attack. This is well done. I've heard criticism that it goes on too long because Mike and I are right now talking about the unrated cut.
Right. Even though I've seen the theatrical cut as well. But yeah,
and I've actually heard people kind of say that one's a little bit worse just because it leaves so much to the imagination.
Well,
this one doesn't leave anything.
Right. And Bronson doesn't like the unrated cut of the... He was against that whole thing, I believe. He was totally against, like, the brutality of that rape scene.
Yeah, I get that. But right away... that has that impact. Automatically, you hate those characters.
Well,
that's
what you're supposed to do. So, that you know, you need that scene in there because, yeah, you do hate those characters right away. So,
Right. And then Paul and his daughter come back. Paul's knocked out. And
they kill
the housekeeper, realizing that they kind of went too far. They grab the daughter because she can identify him. Mm-hmm. All this makes sense.
Right.
I can go with this.
Uh-huh.
I have no problems logically with any of this.
Right. Imagine if they would have raped the daughter again.
They do, Michael.
They did?
Yeah, because they take her back to this abandoned warehouse.
Oh, right. Now I remember. Okay, yeah, you're right.
I was going to say, imagine, they do. As Death Wish 2, because, so now we need two rapes, Mike. This is Michael Winner's brilliant thinking.
Double the raping, double the fun.
Right. Yeah. So the daughter gets raped again, yeah. And then she gets away. And runs diving through a window.
Yeah, that was something. And then when she dies, it was very, very, very depressing.
Yeah, she gets impaled on a fence, and it's a good death. I've heard, I don't know how you took it, Mike, but I took it as she was trying to kill herself by diving through that window. How did you take it?
Probably because, you know, you get raped twice in a period of 8 years. You probably don't want to live anymore at that point.
Right.
Because you're just so, you feel so violated and so much has been taken away from you. You can't live through that, you know, again.
Right.
She's like, I can't go back to total catatoniaism. That's just not going to happen. I'd much rather kill myself.
Right. And for me, that rape scene was almost a little bit more disturbing because we know what happened to her before. Mm-hmm. We know how traumatized she is by it. Right. And the fact that she's just mute and just kind of lays there taking it, it's fucked up, man.
Right.
But then Charles finds out, and I have to say, out of part one and then this one, this is almost Charles's best acting.
So you're saying he learned to act
between... I'm saying that he almost gave a fuck. Because right here, when the police come up, and he's asking about where his daughter is. Mm-hmm. He almost acts. Like, if there was more of that in this one, or a shit ton more of that in the first one, mm-hmm. the first one would have got a much higher rating by me.
Right.
But, you know, Paul, you know, we go to the funeral, but this time I can kind of go with Paul being emotionless. Because Paul's already been through this huge ordeal in New York. And, you know, he's obviously got a lot of mental issues going on because of that.
Right.
And he just fucking shuts down mm-hmm. and turns into this psychopathic killing machine again.
Oh, most definitely.
I can follow it this time because of the first film. However, the first film, there needed to be more. But we already talked about that. So with this one, I can go with the fact that he's just kind of shut down. He shuts off from everything, and we don't get that emotion. We don't get to see him crying. I don't think we need it. I think this one plays it right.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul actually does some prep in this one. He goes to Skid Row in L.A., not to the band that I enjoy, but the shitty slums. And he sets up a headquarters, and this time he's actually focused on getting the gang that did this. He's not just aimlessly wandering around shooting anyone that looks like a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. This is already off to a much better start. And the fact that we're now in, when was this made, Mike? 78, 80?
What? Death Wish 2?
Yes. That's what I'm asking you.
It was made in 82.
82. All right. So we're seeing Skid Row, L.A. in 82. Once again, I love this because that was one of my favorite parts about the original Death Wish, was seeing that time capsule of 70s shithole New York. And now we're seeing the exact same thing with early 80s Skid Row, L.A. I love it. It's like another fucking character. We get to see all the crazy people and just what a hellish place this is.
Right.
And, I do have a question for you, Mike.
What's that, sir?
How long's this been since his ordeal in New York? Because they give us two or three time frames in the movie.
Well, no, see, this is, okay. Well, no, and, okay, well, see, I was gonna save this for the third one, too, because the way that this works is, or no, wait, I'm sorry. With the fourth one, they had said that based on things that they said, that the stuff that happened in the first one happened in 76 instead of 74. But if we're following, the original was 74 and this is 82, so we're following an 8-year difference.
Yeah, but they give us different time frames within the movie.
Well, it doesn't matter. I just follow the 8-year difference of the release dates. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, I don't give a fuck what they're saying otherwise.
All right, so Paul goes on the hunt, and of course he is actually now focused on getting the correct guys and kind of ignoring other criminals, which I don't know. I like this change, all right? I like that Paul's not just aimless. I mean, they could have fixed that with a little... Anyway, this one, he is very focused. He's seen the guys, and he's going after them. I like that we start to get the kills, and then we start to see a little bit of the police side in L.A., and how they're very focused on this. They have no intentions of backing off, so much so that they contact New York, and we actually get a callback character. I like this. I like that we get that New York captain coming down to L.A., to help. Yeah, however, you know, he's ordered to possibly kill Paul before he goes. The fuck is that?
Yeah, that was emotional.
That wasn't emotional. That was, they're talking to him, hey, we can't let him get caught, it'll all come back to us. I get it, makes sense. And then the commissioner's just like, kill him. It's like, hard cut. What? So don't go out there and be like, hey, you need to knock this shit off. I'm going to help keep the cops away from you a little bit. You need to go away. No, go out there and kill him. That should have been cut. That's a nick against this film, man. It made no fucking sense there. However, this detective, captain, whatever he is, he shows up. And he's actually good at police work, man. He's tracking shit down. He's following Paul. He's letting Paul's girlfriend know, which, by the way, this was another demand of Mr. Bronson, that his wife get hired for this part.
And that was the only time that they, or the first, actually, wait, that was the only Death Wish movie she was in, I think, was that one. I don't think she was in 3. No, I don't think she was in 3.
No.
And then, do you know that this was his first sequel?
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Well, then I guess it makes sense why he held off and then demanded, what, $500,000 more to do this, and my wife gets hired, and I need this director.
$5 million for this movie.
Jesus Christ.
I think that he was underpaid. I think he should have got at least $5 million for the film.
Okay. And so...
you laughed that off.
I'm skipping past that, because, my God. Anyway, I gotta say, I'm actually pretty satisfied.
Considering what people fucking make these days, fucking $5 million is chump change. Do it.
Yeah, this is 82 when you could buy a brand new car for, you know, how much, Mike?
Doesn't matter. Bronson deserved $5 million
in this
movie.
Yes, no, he did not.
You know what? I am going to fucking go to Menahem Golan and Globus, whatever the fuck they are, the people that bought the rights to Death Wish to make these sequels, and I'm going to demand that they pay, let's see, $1.5 million.
Wait, Mike, you don't know who those people are?
I know who they are. They bought the fucking... They bought the rights to make the sequels for 2, 3, and 4.
They are the Israeli producers that were behind fucking Canon Pictures, man.
Yeah, great. They're Israeli, so they have money. So what we're
going
to do...
Whoa, no. You're not going down the Jew road. No, Mike.
Yeah, you said it. I didn't say that. You said it.
You inferred it.
You're right, but you're the one that said it, so fuck you. Okay, so... Yeah, right, no, now, what
we're drawing a line in the sand. We're not...
Hold
no.
on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to them, because I'm sure they're still alive, and if they're not, I'll go to their grave. And I will tell them, or tell somebody that owns the company now. I think MGM is involved with a lot of that shit, or United Artists or something. So what I'll do is I'll say, okay, Bronson deserved $5 million for Death Wish 2. You paid him $1.5 million. So that means that he deserves $3.5 million that you pay to his estate.
No, Bronson didn't deserve this.
No.
And let's face facts, Bronson Bronson had more money than he knew what to do with, man. He got a facelift before this, by the way. Did you know that? That's why he looks like he's the same age almost 10 years later at almost 60.
Okay, well, then that's great that he did it because he needed it.
Got his nails manicured.
As they were in the first one, and it was excellent. So, but, okay, and if they don't want to pay the $3.5 to the estate, they can pay the $3.5 million to me, and I will take it.
Invested
as a tribute to Bronson. I will come up with the Charles Bronson, the Michael J. Charles Bronson Tribute Award, and I will give.
Is that for somebody that can only get co-starring roles in A pictures or starring roles in B pictures?
No, it's so I can make a true reboot of Death Wish.
You haven't seen it yet, so shut up.
I will play Paul Kersey.
We're not talking about it.
And I will play Paul Kersey's son, who comes around because
Paul Kersey didn't have a son.
Yes, he did. He had an affair with a woman before he was married to his wife in the original film.
Mike, that would put you at like 60 or 70 now.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm balding. I can make myself look that old. So what I'll do is
nobody wants that. Anyway, moving on to this film. Because we're going to cause you to shut the fuck up. I'm actually going with this. And as I said, the murders are actually kind of satisfying because we're getting the right people. It's focused. Mm-hmm. And, okay, so he manages to pick them all off. They have this big shootout where they're trading drugs for guns. Because I don't know if they figured out they're being picked off one by one or they just want the guns or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the New York detective warns Paul, gets shot himself, and they kind of team up for a little bit before he dies. And then the final gang member gets arrested after, you know, taking out how many fucking cops?
Enough.
Yeah, single-handedly just runs through about 8 fucking cops before they get them all down. Mm-hmm. And, okay, the court system then fails Paul. This is what's left of that social commentary that was in the original script, because this guy gets off because he was on drugs, because, you know, and then, of course, you know, Paul proposes to his fiance, mm-hmm. his girlfriend, his actual wife, because I don't know why, uses her to break into the mental hospital where this guy's being held.
Yep, that was great.
I will give it to you. I like that part. Yeah. And then sets himself up as the doctor to interview this guy alone, mm-hmm. conveniently enough, in the old ECT room.
Yep. Of course, you know what that is, John, so that's good.
Yes, it's electroconvulsive therapy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it is actually very effective for some people, whereas this one, they make it sound like it's torture. Mm-hmm. It is still used to this day. And some people, it is one of the only things that actually helps them. Some of you may know I am in the mental health field, and I had a guy over the last year that went from being completely incoherent and almost non-talking to a perfectly normal functioning person, all thanks to ECT. So go fuck yourself on this one, you liberal fucks.
Wow. Okay.
ECT is a good thing.
Okay.
To some people.
Yeah.
Anyway. Paul sets himself up. They get in there. He tries to shoot the guy. Doesn't work. And then we have a throwdown between upper-tier, middle-aged Paul and this big guy that took out 8 police officers. Mike, please tell me that you have a problem with this.
I do not. I think that that is a accurate representation of what a sick person who is insane can do. He took his Jason Voorhees pills that morning.
Oh, okay, so he took out the 8 police officers, and then this man is almost 60 years old,
right.
And him have a believable fight. This is right. The first time in this film I really have a problem with what Bronson's doing.
Well, no, it's because Bronson is above, you know, the average person. He is.
He's
super...
supposed to be a motherfucking architect in this, Michael.
Doesn't
he does
matter.
Some push-ups.
He doesn't
but this
matter.
Guy
he is super
should
human.
Have fucking destroyed him.
He is. Bronson is superhuman. Bronson can destroy anybody.
And that's part of the problem is he's getting stabbed multiple fucking times in the chest.
Yep.
And he's able to kill this guy. Okay, the guy punches through the ECT machine and he clicks it on. Okay, I go with it. Mm-hmm. The effects there of the fan blowing in his face are fucking horrible.
Right. Well, Bronson wore padding too, so.
Not established. You're making that up.
It's in there. You no, just don't see it. I'm looking at the trivia.
So Bronson
put a
knife
stabbing padding on before.
So he sits down bleeding.
Yep.
Because he got stabbed the fuck up.
It's fake blood. It's fake blood that comes out of the padding.
The psych aide comes in, and Paul tells him his story, fully expecting, I'm going down for this. And you go with it. You can see that Bronson's convincing. Right. I'm going down for this.
Right.
And the psych aide's just like, yeah, he was an asshole. I read about your story. Get out of here, and then I'll turn on the alarm.
Yep.
I can kind of go with this. The fight is what I don't believe. It should have been a brutal beatdown of Bronson, where he's able to get the gun because the guy's too focused on just stabbing him and blows his fucking brains out. And then the psych aide still lets him go. You could have still played it the same. It's just make it a little bit more believable. This guy's almost 60. He just got the living shit beat out of him and still able to shoot him. Yeah. I would go with that a whole lot more.
Well, it just shows that Paul is our Lord and Savior, Paul Christ.
Yeah, that's basically what this is going to turn into.
Paul Kersey Christ.
I like that he's trying to rush back before his fiance gets there and realizes he's not there. However, she does. She finds out that he's, this vigilante killer, and she leaves him. So, wow. Okay, Mike, what did you think of this film overall?
I loved it. I thought it was a nice step up from the original. The setting was great. The music is phenomenal because I still sit there and I fucking hum it in my head and fucking bob my head to it. I think it's amazing. The daughter rape, the second thing for her, that resulted in her death, I think was very redeeming. She
redeeming?
Yeah, she redeemed herself only to die.
How did she redeem herself by getting molested?
Well, she didn't get molested. She got raped. Different thing there entirely. And then let's see.
Okay.
Then you have, I think the thugs in this one. I still think that the thugs in the original film were better than these thugs. Aside from Lawrence Fishburne, I enjoyed him immensely. I liked the police captain as you did. I like his little performance. He was a welcome return. I think the housekeeper Bush needed to go, but. That is about it. I enjoy the film. I will rate it another 5 out of 5 just because it is Bronson, bitch, and it's good Bronson because he is now Paul Kersey Christ.
Okay. For myself, I actually think this one is a better film than the original. This one doesn't really have the whole conflict going on of it's an A picture, it's a B picture. This one knows exactly what it is and it goes for it, man. The attacks are fucking brutal. Paul's focused. I mean, yeah, there's bad acting, but this is a fucking B action movie. Who gives a shit? I just found this one so much more enjoyable than the first one. I give this one, I'm gonna give it 3 stars. I'm giving it a 3 out of 5. That is a solid film.
You elevated it. I'm very surprised.
Told you I liked it better in the first one.
I'm really surprised. Wow.
So, yeah, that is Death Wish 2. Thank you all so much, and stay tuned for tomorrow's Death Wish 3, not III, because people are fucking stupid and can't figure out Roman numerals according to canon.
Yeah, I thought that was dumb. I think they should have stuck with the Roman numerals, but that's just my feeling.
That should really let everyone know what we're in for if the studio behind this can't figure out Roman numerals.
So, another winning film from Michael Winner tomorrow on Rabbit in Red.
Fuck that guy. We'll be right back.
That was horrible.